Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Andrew Erickson, and we're also joined with Nick Ann Sweeney. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Drew?
Pretty good. We've got a couple of things to talk about today. I'm excited because Ooh. You had, as I think we all have had this as well, but yours is more vivid, yours is more recent. You had a Verizon nightmare. There's a lot of those, right? Yeah, because I've had my fair share.
Not only
so Verizon's no fun.
Yeah, no, Verizon's not fun. Neither is Sprint or, excuse me, I should mute my watch. That's definitely a text.
Everyone wants to talk to you about this.
I know. Me. I'm so popular.
I'm just texting you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
tell me what more happened. I get the nut.
Yeah, so this is my first problem with a major carrier. I should probably at least mention real quick that I also had a big problem with Sprint just a few months ago. I had two phones leased through Sprint. And just on a random day, they decided to make one of my leases due. They just added it to my bill. So I signed into my Verizon account. And the balance, instead of being like, you know, $170 or whatever, like it normally is, it was like $800 and something. And I was just like, what the front door?
We decided we want more money now. Can exactly. we have some more money, please?
So I ended up like contacting them and like did chat and phone call with a bunch of people. I was just for Sprint. And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, our system glitched and your lease was due, but we can't reinstate it. I was like, okay, literally the only thing you have to do to make me a happy customer right now is just put the lease back. Like, yes, it's frustrating that I just spent like 5 hours on the phone with you guys. But if you just get me back to how it was, I will stop complaining. But they couldn't do that. Evidently, that's not how it works or something. And so,
can you just pay it? Just pay the buddy. We messed up our glitch, but you should just cover for us.
Exactly.
You like us, right?
No. So then I said, okay, well, middle finger to you guys. And so I told them to cancel my other lease, and I just paid, you know, it was like $1,200 or something, and I just left Sprint. Like, I was just like, okay, you guys lost my business, have a good one.
That's an expensive choice. Damn,
it was just, I was just mad at them. And you know, I would have paid that much anyway over the course of the months. And it really wasn't about the money. Like, I could have paid $800
or
the $1,200. It was just like,
they're like, screw it.
Yeah, I'm done with you guys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that was exciting. And so then I moved to Verizon because AT&T in my area is pretty like sketchy, and T-Mobile is pretty much non-existent. So my only other option really was Verizon. And so I went to Verizon, and you know, I've heard good things about Verizon and bad things about Verizon. Their unlimited plan has been good in the past. It's not so good anymore, you know. There's good
some here, some
things.
There. That's right.
Yeah, but I figured the service part is the same. Like, I'm getting the same 4G speeds, about the same coverage. Like, I'm not, that's not that. That's the difference between Sprint and Verizon. The difference me was, okay, well, if I pay almost twice as much for Verizon, maybe I'll have better customer service. You know, maybe just an idea. I'll have some more money to spend on better customer service or something else.
Oh, Nick. Oh, no.
I know.
That's not it at all.
So for some very strange reason, I decided to go with Verizon instead of just not having a phone. Maybe that would have been a better idea. Just, you know, screw this phone
or
stuff.
Or just one of those like tiny third party, those tiny carriers.
Before I went to Sprint, I was on a lot of MVNOs, those little tiny carriers. The People's Operator was really nice. It was super sketch, though. I'll divert and tell the story because it's kind of funny. The People's Operator, free shout out to them. They're an MVNO that runs on Sprint, so that means Mobile Virtual Network Operator. And they buy network time off of like Sprint or Verizon or something, and they sell it to you. And I found a deal on this super shady little website. It was $50 a month for 50 gigabytes of LTE unlimited talk and text.
50?
And I was like, this is a pretty good deal. And I ended up porting my number over. I was at Ting before that. And I ported my own number over to the People's Operator. And it was really weird. Every single time I called their tech support, I talked to the same guy. He sounded like he was in his 20s.
There's like one guy.
I'm pretty sure it was literally one guy.
Just one guy. He's like, hi, Nick. Can I help you today? You're the only person on this whole carrier.
But that was the kind of nice part. Like, whatever I had a problem, I picked up the phone, and whatever his name picked up. Like, there was no hold. There was none of that computer, like, press one for English. It was just like, buzz, buzz, and he picked up. And
that's his, like, personal number. He's not at a desk or anything. Just like, hey, Glenn, my carrier's weird.
Debbie, try and turn like your phone off and on again.
Like, turn it off, please. Turn it back on. Okay. That's it. No, that does sound interesting.
Yeah, so it's like a really good little carrier. Like, it was super cheap for a lot of data, and like they had really good customer service. So I think I got spoiled. Good. And when I decided I want an LTE Apple Watch, that's when I had to switch away from little people's operator.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, by the time I'd been with the people's operator for about a year. Oh, another funny thing with them, he would forget to bill my credit card for like 3 months, and then
that's
like
a great problem.
He'd shut down my phone number because like he'd be like, "You haven't paid your bill in 3 months." I'm like, "Dude, you have my card number. Bill the card." And he bills the card. He's like, "Oh, it went through. Sorry."
Like, we don't know how to do that.
I know.
So you get 3 months of free service and followed by a cancellation.
Exactly.
That's like the exact opposite of Sprint.
Exactly.
It's just like, we forgot to take your money. Our bad.
Well,
why doesn't Apple have that
billing
problem?
Me for it. So like, you know, instead of $50 a month, it's like $150 every 3 months. But whatever.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it worked. Whatever.
A different way of paying the bill.
I know. Yeah, it worked. And so they didn't support the Apple Watch, though. And so I was like, I really want that cellular Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. So I decided to switch to Sprint. So I was super excited to switch to Sprint, and while I was switching, they offered me an 8 Plus with the lease if I traded in my 7, and so anyway, I got a pretty good deal with the trade-in.
Yeah.
And so I was with Sprint, and I was fine until they canceled my lease, and I got upset with them, and I went to Verizon. So now we're at Verizon. That was all my carrier stories. I mean, we're just trying to buy time for the podcast, really. That's all we're doing. Because Randy's not here, you know.
Sorry, Randy didn't make it today.
I know. He's supposed to be here. He's still MIA. If you guys ever find him, let us know what happened to him.
Keep an eye out for Randy. He's like in the bushes outside your house. That could be him.
We'll put him on the milk boxes.
Yeah.
Missing. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Right.
So this whole Verizon thing. I was on Verizon. I've been very happy with them for 6 months about or so.
Okay.
Ever since Sprint, I dumped Sprint. And, you know, they're more expensive. And, you know, it is like, you know, so $170 a month, like $270 a month for my family plan.
My gosh. Yeah, it sounds about right.
But whatever. It's phone service. And unfortunately, I'm done with Sprint, so I can't go anywhere else.
So that's these are your options here.
Exactly.
About three companies.
Two.
Right.
So I get on Twitter, I see that AT&T, their dual SIM, dual standby technology was available. And so I was getting excited, like, oh, you know, Verizon's probably coming next. Yay, I can't wait to get this. Because with my new job, I wanted to have one dedicated like personal line and one dedicated like work line. That way
I couldn't figure out why you needed the dual SIM, but that makes more sense.
Yeah, just to kind of screen calls so that I can be off the clock and on the clock, kind of, and still have a way for family and friends to contact me. And so,
interesting.
I was excited for
Cool. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought it was worth the extra $50 a month or whatever it was going to be for an extra phone line onto the phone. And so,
$50 a month.
I know. I kind of don't want to start looking at my Verizon bills. They're getting out.
It's scary.
It is.
It's very scary.
Yeah. Like the next one that I'm it's going to be like $350 or something. I'm like, gosh, darn it. It's a whole iPad right there every month.
Ouch. Yeah. The whole iPad a month.
Anyway, whatever. Water under the bridge. But so I was excited to get this. So I got. A few days later, I noticed on Twitter again that 9to5 Mac was reporting that Verizon had launched their dual SIM technology. It's like,
So Verizon's next.
Yep. So I got on my phone, or I got on my laptop actually, and found like the little help guide from Verizon's website to help you install like, dual SIM. And there were like five steps. It didn't look too complicated. You had to basically reach out to Verizon, ask them for a QR code, and scan the QR code with your phone, and then set up a new line on your phone. It looked pretty simple from the little instructions. Okay. So I was like, okay, this should be a piece of cake, right? So it's like 9:30 at night on like a Sunday or something, whenever I got the notification, like, this is how anxious I was for it. And
well, I've come to learn that anything carrier related is not simple, no matter how simple it may seem.
We'll get to that in a minute.
yes.
Even calling them is not simple. So I open up the chat on my computer because I need to get this QR code, and I couldn't figure out how on my account I could get this QR code. So I chat with someone. Her name is Jamie. And Jamie was not very helpful. She told me to do stuff that was not on the list from Verizon. So I was looking at the Verizon how-to step-by-step guide, and Jamie was telling me to do things that were not on the step-by-step Verizon how-to guide.
The forbidden texts.
I know.
The sacred texts. We can't go against them.
Well, I just assumed that Jamie had what she needed. Like, knew what she was doing or whatever. That was a bad assumption on my part. So I did whatever Jamie told me to do.
People who work at Verizon, you'd think, would know.
I know, right? It's kind of like,
you know, if they don't know, who does? Right.
Exactly. So Jamie tells me to do some stuff. I scan a QR code on my phone, and then it starts adding a plan, but then something glitches, like, on Verizon's
end. Oh,
no. Could not contact the carrier. Try again later. And so it's like, just hit the cancel button. It's like, okay. So I rescanned the code, and the code wasn't working. And then I realized my physical SIM was also knocked off Verizon's network.
Oh, so now
I didn't have access to LTE on my phone.
Oh, God.
So,
and you don't have Wi-Fi, right,
at home? No, I don't have Wi-Fi, so I hotspotted from my iPad.
Okay.
I also used all my hotspot data, all 15 gigs that night. So I was like,
dang it.
And by that time, Jamie had already closed the chat, and I was like, okay, have a good evening. It's like,
good luck with no service. Bye.
Exactly. Well, she did that before I figured I didn't have service.
Right.
And unfortunately, I didn't think that anything was wrong, so I didn't, like, have it email me the transcript of the chat. So I don't know what she said exactly.
Okay.
Which kind of bit me in the butt later on.
Okay.
And so then I'm like, okay, something's broken. Now I got to chat with someone again. So I open up the chat. And I start typing, you know, I was talking with this one person, and they bricked my phone. Now it's not connected to the network. And
so this person,
yeah, exactly.
They're going to frame you for murder, too.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past Jamie.
Dang it, Jamie, we're calling you out. This is public now.
Yeah, dang, I don't know what she actually said, so I don't have any record of this. I just remember her name.
I believe you, Nick. Oh, I stand with Nick. Hashtag. I'm on Nick. Team Nick.
Hashtag boycott Verizon. But don't boycott Verizon because they're the only carrier that...
But I can't, I have no one else to go to. You suck, Verizon. Also, I need a new phone. I'm going to upgrade later.
That's literally my feeling. So I was chatting with this other person, trying to explain what happened. And the other person was like, just take the SIM out and put it back in. And I was like, no, this is an eSIM.
I could have told you that. Yeah.
And the person was like, well, no, just take the eSIM out and put it back in.
What's that and I was even like, mean?
No, you take the eSIM out? Works.
Do you solder, bro? Just call Lewis Rossman really quick. Remove the eSIM and put it back.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you do not know what you're talking about. Can I please talk to someone in technical support? And so I started, so the person who didn't know what they were talking about transferred me to someone who knew that eSIM was a thing, but had never done it before.
Okay.
And so like, I was like,
did you say to them, like, what did you say? Was it like, do you know what the E stands for in eSIM? What separates a SIM card from an eSIM? Do you know?
We had a little test, just like the John Prosser thinks we should give to members of the Congress before they can ask Google questions.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Little quiz,
yeah, a little quiz on how eSIM works. First. Yeah,
right.
So this person seemed to know what they're kind of talking about, or maybe they just read the little 5-step guide that I did and pretended to know. But
that's the kind of person who like takes 5 minutes to figure out how the soda machine works at a McDonald's. Yeah. You know, they're like pressing the buttons and they're trying to figure it out.
Just like, ice is coming out and they're all frustrated.
Wait, I want a Sprat cranberry. How do I get that? And they just keep pressing and pressing. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So I chatted with this loser for a little while. This loser. I don't remember. I can pull up his name. I have all of their names written down.
All the ones who have done you wrong, so like engraved their names on the wall.
Yeah. So I talked to Jamie, and then I talked to it was Jamie, and then it was Charlie. Charlie was the loser I'm talking about. He didn't know what he was doing. Sorry, Charlie. Dang, I'm sure you're not a bad person personally, but you sure didn't know what you're talking about.
Let's blame their manager for not explaining to them anything.
Blame Verizon, because I took me like another 4 or 5 hours of talking to people to try to get someone who knew what's going on. So that was just Charlie. I talked to 15 people in total about this, and it's still not working.
I'm amazed you keep going after 1 to 2 hours. See, I'm the person to just give up. I'm just like, okay, I'll live with
those. Well, my phone wasn't working, so I couldn't give up.
I know. I would live with that. I would be like, this isn't worth trying to fix. I'll just use Facebook Messenger now and Wi-Fi for the rest of my life.
Just done with it.
I give up.
Yeah.
Project Fi.
No, it's Google. I can't do that.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Could it be worse than Verizon? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Could be.
I use a lot of data. I use about 80 gigabytes of data every month, so they're not good for me.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So you kept going.
So Charlie didn't know what he was talking about, and then he just pretended that he couldn't hear me or like hear my chat or whatever. He was like, hello. Okay. Are you there? Did I lose you? Hello? I'm like responding back to him.
Can you hear
like,
me now?
Hello, I can hear you just fine. How are you? You hear me? And then he's like, since I haven't heard from you in about 5 minutes, I'm going to end the chat and close the ticket. And I was like, no, don't close the chat.
So the phone call to contact customer service wasn't even working now.
Well, it was a chat online.
Oh, and the online chat.
I was just typing in all caps, like, do not cancel this. I can hear you.
Do not cancel.
Can you hear me? Please don't. I've been through this.
Oh, God.
And so then he closed the chat.
This is a nightmare. You're not kidding. You're not joking around when you say nightmare.
This is going to be the entire podcast, Drew. Like,
you know, there's like this, there's a name of like a horror story called I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream.
Yes.
And for this one, it's like, I need phone service, but I can't call anyone. It's like the same.
Yes.
It's like when you get those scissors in packaging, but you need scissors to open the scissors.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do I do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I couldn't, he closed the chat and I was like, legit like upset, like I was all caps upset.
Right
So then I opened up a new chat and talked to some person on the Verizon Wireless sales chat, didn't remember his name, and I was very livid, and
we'll call him Brandon.
Yes.
This is Brandon.
He kind of simmered me down a little, did some good customer service, and apologized.
Good.
And then transferred me to Sam, who is a tier 2 technical support technician.
Oh,
so I was like,
have tier 2s now.
Got tier 2 technical support
technician. They tell all the tier 2s what eSIM is. That's the difference.
I hope so.
Explain that to them.
So then Sam, it was very helpful. He kind of knew what was going on. He told me to take my SIM out and restart the phone and the actual physical SIM. And he did some stuff on the network side.
Okay,
gave him my IMEI numbers of both SIMs. And he swapped the plans, actually, so that my actual plan was on the eSIM. And anyway, he did some stuff.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it still wasn't working. And so then I was like, this is all just over chat. So I was like, okay, you know what? This is getting too late. It was like 12:30. I had to be up at 6 in the morning. And so I was like, I need to get some sleep here. Can you guys give me a call back tomorrow between 8 and 10 o'clock? And Sam was like, yes, of course. What phone number?
What phone number? Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh. And so I was like, you realize what's going on here, right? And he's like, oh, yeah.
I see the problem.
So
where's the door hole?
Yeah. So I ended up giving him my work line for one of my desk phones.
Oh, gotcha.
So I knew
you're gonna call my mother. Yeah. Ask Nick.
Yeah. So right. So anyway, he's like, okay, yes, I'm gonna have my supervisor give you a call tomorrow between 8 and 10 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time.
Just think of how many different levels of customer service agents there are. There has to be like 800 different levels.
I think there are, because I made it pretty clear.
Sam's a tier two, but he has a supervisor.
Yeah. So anyway, Sam told me that Raquel, his boss, would give me a call between 10 and or 8 and 10 Mountain Time a.m. on my work line. So I was sitting very patiently next to my work line from 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And guess who did not call?
Oh, boy.
Come on, Raquel never called me. I know.
Jeez. Okay.
So I was like, okay, so Raquel didn't call me. So 10:15 or so, I just start calling Verizon. So I did before I left. I asked what number I could call back in case there's a problem. And they gave me just the general line or whatever. So I called that. And so
did you have like a case number to reference?
No, I didn't. So all this was over chat. So I have a bunch of chat.
So you have
numbers
to start from square one.
Exactly. Every time I talk to a new person, I have to explain the whole problem over again, which is why it took so long.
Oh my God.
So first person I talked to, her name was Ganau, I think. she kind of mumbled.
You could make like a map with a bunch of red string of all these names attaching to each other. Like, you must have talked to like every Verizon customer service agent in the building.
We're not.
Whenever I picture customer service, oh my God! Whenever I picture customer service, I just imagine like a giant pyramid, like. Uh-huh. Like an Egyptian pyramid, and there's just a bunch of offices on the inside. You just make your way up the pyramid as the problem gets more complicated.
Start talking to the CEO at the top.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one guy that actually has the buttons to fix everything. Yeah. I know what eSIM is.
Exactly.
Incredible.
So Ganau was very helpful. She was also in the tier 2 technical service department. But unfortunately, she admitted very fast that she was not trained on dual SIM. I'm like, finally, someone's being honest here.
So when Bryson says they've launched dual SIM, what they mean is
they flip
one person in the whole company might know what it is.
Yep, and I know that person's name. He's the next person I talked to. The next person I talked to was Don. He was an advanced tech support agent.
Ooh.
Tier 4 advanced. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how many tiers I skipped.
He'd drop into limbo.
Yeah, but he was the only one in their entire department who had been specifically trained for dual SIM at that time.
Okay. Okay.
And so he was very helpful. I spent about an hour and a half on the phone with Don. Like, we got it all working. We thought we did, but I didn't let him hang up before I toggled airplane mode and, like, restarted my phone and, like, made sure it worked because I sure as heck didn't want to go through this again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. And so, we got to the point where we got my physical plan or my normal personal plan on the eSIM.
Right. Right.
And so the physical SIM was ready for activation.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, we got this. And so he needed to transfer me to their new services line because he couldn't add a new phone number to my account. It'd be someone else. So I got transferred to Crystal.
No one has any power in this company.
I know, right? Like,
no one can do anything.
Actually do something. So I explained the whole story to Crystal, and the next lady on the phone, who's in our new services department. And Crystal was also very helpful. And then we quickly realized that for some reason, Verizon thought that my eSIM was carrier locked.
But even though it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I bought it from Apple. I literally bought this phone from Apple. Everything was unlocked. And so I was like, no, it's not. Check again. And she's like, well, it still shows on my system that this IMEI number is carrier locked. I'm like, but who is it locked with?
She said, oh, what carrier?
She says, oh, Verizon. That's weird. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Is that possible? I bought the phone carrier SIM locked to Verizon.
Exactly. It was completely unlocked. And so,
my God.
Anyway, so she did around some stuff on her end. And she's like, I don't know what to tell you. Can you call Apple and ask them what's going on?
Oh, this isn't our fault.
I know, right?
This is all on Apple's end.
Oh, dear. Here we go. We get to talk to Apple.
I think who really screwed up here was the marketing department for saying that they were ready for dual SIM.
Yeah.
They just should not have mentioned that.
What I should have
done. Should not have brought that up.
instead of being lazy and just asking someone else to tell me how to do it, I should have just followed the 5-step guide and I probably would have been fine. That's the kicker. So anyway, right. I get a Crystal. Crystal sends me a text message from her personal phone number. With a way to contact her again. So after I talk to Apple, I don't have to try to get transferred to her again. It's great. I have a text message on my phone with Crystal's number, and we're ready to talk to her after I get this sorted out with Apple. So I call
she it. She sent you like a contact photo and everything to update your contact information.
I just had
this
a phone
is Crystal
number.
From Verizon.
your friendly help person. So then I contact
like an emergency medical contact. Yeah.
There you go. And I talked to Dawn. This is a different Dawn. Her name was Dawn, so I'm assuming it's right. Dawn. And so she didn't really know what was going on, so she transferred me to... she's like, no, eSIMs are all unlocked. Like, I don't know what your carrier's saying. I'm like, well, they told me to call you. She's like, okay, well, they're very helpful. The two people I talked to at Apple, most helpful people ever.
Good,
amazing. Good job, Apple.
Free phone. Here you go. Have a 10R. Like Ellen.
There you go. Everyone, you get a 10R and you get a 10R.
You get a 10R. Right. Everyone.
So then Don transferred me to Nate at Apple, and Nate was a senior technical support assistant at Apple, and he knew he knew his stuff. He was trained on eSIMs. He knew it up and down. And so he said that for some reason or another, while we were switching plans between the physical SIM and eSIM, that Verizon logged that as being locked. So he remotely changed my eSIM IMEI number, and then I had to completely wipe my phone. And so I was like, I have an iCloud backup, fine, I'll wipe it.
Okay, whatever. Good.
I'll have to download my 500 gigabytes of movies and TV shows later.
It's like half a terabyte of wiping. Oh my God, that's a lot of data.
I'm just going to do it on Verizon's network just to kind of give them the finger. you did this too. Enjoy all this load. So I wiped my phone and it was working, and Nate said it's unlocked on his end now. And so
good.
And I was like, okay, great. Now I can call Crystal back. But what was the problem? She sent me a text message with her number on a phone that I wiped. So I didn't have Crystal's direct phone number.
Shoot.
So then I called the regular helpline and talked to Eddie, and I said, Eddie, I don't need to explain to you what's been going on. I just need you to transfer me to someone in the new services department, preferably someone named Crystal.
Right. I think you were literally in hell, Nick. I think you've discovered hell.
And it's still
this
not
is
working.
What hell
I need
is.
To
it's
call just, them back.
this is just an ongoing battle of just like forever trying to get your phone to work. I feel like that's what hell would be. Uh-huh. Without any like persistence or any success, you don't get anywhere. And every time you talk to someone, you have to start fresh again. Like I feel like that's an accurate representation of hell.
I think so. That's probably what it's like. Yeah. So
Verizon little check mark. That's this little horns, and it's red.
There you go. Oh gosh.
Your new phone number is 666.
Oh my God.
It just keeps showing. And now you have to go to the DMV to get your phone bill updated. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Talk to Flash at the DMV from Zootopia.
Right. Okay. So you said this still hasn't been resolved.
So the last person I talked to at Verizon was Hillary. And she was pretty helpful too. No relation to the politician, hopefully.
Okay. There's been like 12 names in the story.
15,
so far.
Actually. Yeah.
15. Okay,
15
wow.
people I've talked to. So Hillary helped me out, and she was like, okay, well, I see your phone is unlocked. Let me try activating the SIM. And so she tried, but it still wasn't working. And by that time, it was like 5 in the evening. Like, I'd been talking to them from 10 to like 5. On the phone with different people. Like, luckily, I was at my do-nothing job, and I didn't have a bunch of homework to do. But, like, I was up my entire day. And so I was like, okay, well, go ahead. So she needed to call Apple. Like, she was like, I'm not sure how to do this. Let me call Apple. Jeez. I'm like, wait. So Nate had given me his personal phone number, his direct line, and his email address. And so I was like, Hillary, don't just call Apple support. Call Nate. Here's his phone number. Here's his extension.
Talk to
don't
Nate.
Wait in line. Talk to Nate. He already knows what's going on.
He likes coffee with two creams.
I think so.
Where he went to college. Talk to Nate.
Exactly. Hillary put me on hold, and assumedly went and talked to Nate, and I never heard back from Hillary because the line got disconnected. Wow. And so at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so done with this. And so my phone right now... I'm amazed
you kept up on it as long as you have. That's amazing.
Yeah. If there was someone else to go to, I would totally leave again. Like, this is, like, worse than the lease epidemic of June or whenever that was.
Right, right.
Like, this is bad.
You have convinced me to never try to do a dual SIM or an eSIM ever. Like, after hearing this story, I knowing that I'm a Verizon customer, like, I never want to mess with that. I will put up with the work calls. I will put up with the lack of dual SIM, and I'm forever going to be terrified now to ever attempt it.
it's awful. I would not recommend it. 10 out of 10.
Well, I think now's a good time to mention our sponsor, which is Verizon Wireless. this is the best coverage you guys can get with some of the best deals and unlimited speed. No, I'm kidding. That'd be funny though. That'd be a perfect
ad break.
Thanks, Verizon, for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. So, Nick, tell us more about hell.
Come vacation in hell. You have unlimited data up to 15 gigabytes, then you're throttled to 2G.
But you can't use it. So, yeah, this is another reason why I don't care that much about 5G.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm like, let's figure out how to make carriers work first, and then let's talk about speeds. Like, LTE is fast. That's not the problem. It's just no one knows what they're doing anywhere.
Yep.
And they cap you after, like you said, like 15 gigs, like immediately. Mm-hmm. It's just always the speeds aren't the problem. That's not my issue.
Yeah. So if anyone from Verizon is listening to this podcast, and anyone in Verizon has any power at all, these are my things that would make me a happy customer again. One, return all of my 15 gigabytes of hotspot data that I used on my iPad so I could chat your department on my Mac because my phone wasn't working.
You know, here's a good idea. If you spend a certain amount of time on customer service and your problem's not resolved, then that should, like, each hour should count as like 10 gigs of data
that gets
credited towards your account. That should encourage the customer service agents to do their job and not let this be a lengthy process.
Yeah.
But they would lose money, so they'll never do that.
Yep.
They would have to give out terabytes.
So the next thing I have is my time is typically worth about $100 an hour when I'm working. And so I would like Verizon to compensate 16 hours at my regular rate with bill credits. So
you get like free service for like a year.
That's kind of what I'm going for because that would be unacceptable.
Nice. Yeah.
And the next thing is I don't want to be paying for this additional line that I've added because right now on my account, I see I have two phone numbers and they're both getting charged at $55 a month. And I haven't even used the second one yet. They've charging me for something I physically can't use. Yeah.
I had a similar story with my cellular Apple watches, which I don't use LTE. I don't use the cellular on my watch anymore because of how Verizon handled it. And my story is not as lengthy, but essentially, I remember when the Series 3 came out, right? Like, I remember when the cellular one dropped, and Apple said that how it's going to work is the watch is going to imitate your phone number. Like, the SIM, the number that's in your iPhone, that's how the watch is going to act. It's just going to duplicate it and act like it's the same phone. When we finally got Verizon, it's not that at all. It's considered like a device with its own separate phone number that also gets charged. And Apple also said that the first 3 months are free, and then it's $10 a month, basically on all major carriers. $10 a month, so you can have cellular on your watch. And I was like, that's not bad at all. That's like the price of Netflix. So whatever. And when I first got my Series 3, I was like, three free months, why not? So I signed up, got everything working. And then we find out on Verizon's end that, like, line access is a $10 fee. And then the actual cell bill is also a $10 fee. And then there's a bunch of, like, middle fees in between, and it ends up costing you, like, $22 a month just to have data on the watch. And obviously, later in the year, I bought the stainless steel Series 3 and gave the aluminum Series 3. No, I sold my aluminum Series 3 to, at the time, girlfriend. She's my wife now, and she always wants me to clarify when she bought something that I didn't give it to her. So she's like, no, I don't accept free gifts from you all the time. I paid for that. That's my watch. So just letting the record be clear. She bought it. And then Verizon kept charging the cell bill for my stainless steel and the aluminum, but the aluminum one wasn't working. When we reset it to pair to my girlfriend's iPhone, we couldn't get the data to work on it. We tried to contact customer service, but probably ran into problems just like you did, and we didn't try to fix it. We have so much work to get to that we just ignored it. We were just like, eh, whatever. So a couple months go by, and we realize we're still paying for it. So eventually, I turned in that aluminum Series 3 to Apple to the give back program. And I thought, okay, you know, like, it's not even a watch anymore. They, like, recycle the parts. They take it apart. There's no watch anymore. They were still charging us monthly access, monthly $22 a month, even though there's literally nowhere for the data to go. That's what's mind-boggling to me about that payment process, is the fact that they will charge you for something that they don't even have showing up on their end. Like, they cannot communicate to the watch. They can't see that the watch is active, but they'll still charge for it. So we went to a store, and we were like, how do we cancel all of the cell data on these Apple Watches? I decided, you know what? I'm not using it that much. I use it occasionally, but I can live without it. Whatever. So tell me, how do I cancel them? And we went to a physical store, and the person at that store said, we have to do it online. They could not do it in the store.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what is the store for? They were like, well, you need a desktop. Obviously, we don't carry around laptops with us when we go to Verizon. We just had our phones. We thought that was all we needed. And since all the Verizon representatives only have iPads, they can't access the desktop website they need to simply turn off access to a watch. So I go to the website, we find the buttons to click, and it's like, okay, drag your watch off of your phone to disconnect the line. And we drag it, and it wouldn't disconnect. It just snaps back into place. So eventually, we, you know, talked to Cheryl or whoever on the customer chat, and eventually got him to say, hey, turn off these watches. And finally, Cheryl clicked the two buttons that they don't give to consumers, that they give to representatives, but they don't give it to us. And say, okay, we canceled the watches, and we were like, we want refunds for the months that we didn't get service because the watch didn't even exist the past 3 months. So they actually did refund us a lot of those monthly charges. So that was nice, at least. But I was still dumbfounded at the fact that they can send out a signal and not register that the phone's receiving it and charge for it. It's just ridiculous. So with stories like yours and stories like mine, this is why things like 5G aren't exciting to me, is because I know carriers are spending money, R&D, they're researching and investigating how to implement 5G, and I'm like, that's not your problem. Don't worry about your speeds. You know, like, I think even for you, like, in LTE areas, 4G and LTE is fine. It's fast. It does what we need to. It would be nice if it was faster, but I would rather fix the main problems, which is, they don't know what they're doing. They cap the data anyways after a certain amount of hotspots. So, like, I could utilize 5G on a desktop where I upload content. On my phone, though, I don't know what 5G would be for. It's just, I just post pictures and tweet and text like and watch videos, but you do not need 5G to watch like YouTube videos. So yeah, I'm completely not like pumped for 5G or anything. I'm just like, fix your guys' customer service system, make it simple, simplify the entire process of setting up phones and watches and just make that more minimal. Talk to Amazon or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talk to Apple about simplicity and design and making the user interface and making the process simplified. And then we'll talk about better speeds. We'll get to that later.
That's so okay. This is something I tweeted. If you follow me on Twitter, at Nick Sweeney. shameless plug.
Yes.
I tweeted that I think if anyone is looking for a good entrepreneurial idea to like start your own business and actually make some money because there's a need in the market for this, become an MVNO that's more than just the people's operator. Support some of these cool services like NumberSync or Apple Watch or Dual SIM and just have decent customer service.
Right. Like, get that down.
if I had to go on 3G speeds for my entire internet, but like customer service was amazing where I could just call one person and like not have to, you know, go through all this, I would totally take that.
I would
take crappy service. I would take spotty service even.
Yeah.
If I could get good customer service.
Right.
So I don't know. I still need to look into it, but like, I'm not sure how hard it is to start in mobile virtual network operator.
Yeah.
But like, I totally
make your own. That'd just be like interesting.
Nick and Sweeney carriers, please.
And Sweeney LTE.
Hey.
You can see that in Control Center when I swipe down, it just says Ann Sweeney right next to the cell bar.
I'd love to be on your phone.
We're going to introduce Tri-SIM. Three SIM cards, one phone. They're all eSIM. There's no physical SIM.
Well, you know,
you just have to.
I mean, in a few years, they could literally have unlimited lines. Like after, so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just a conversion process to get these carriers like set up for eSIMs. But once carriers know how to deal with these eSIMs, yeah, there's no limit to the number of lines because the amount of information that's stored on a SIM card is piddles in comparison to my half a terabyte. Mm. So can you imagine how many SIM card numbers you could store on half a terabyte?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's still ridiculous that my voicemail box gets full.
I know.
Even though I have all this data on the phone that the voicemail box doesn't want to access.
That's on Verizon's side. So if you have a good MVNO, you could have a better voice box service.
Like people keep telling me your voicemail's full. And I'm like, I have 30 gigs available. And you're telling me that the phone doesn't want to store voicemail anywhere else. Come on. Also phone, like regular phone calls, not FaceTime audio. Just, they still sound like garbage.
Oh, totally. Like,
that's never changed.
Never.
I wish we would just default over to FaceTime audio now. I think most calls do. If you're iPhone to iPhone, but the fact that the regular phone service hasn't changed at all, it's like this infrastructure is dated. It's not changing. There is something simple though about just swapping SIMs that I like about when I need to test a phone or something, the fact that I can just pull a SIM out, put it in the new one, and then it, for the most part, starts working.
Well, I've never
There's
had
something
it work
simple
just like
about that.
But...
Well, when I test it out, like,
I don't know.
Tested the 10R and I tested the Pixel. Basically, all I did was take my SIM out, put it back in, and started working for the most part. But if they started doing all eSIM, I'm going to have to talk to Cheryl again every time I test a phone.
Don't!
Not Cheryl!
Just avoid it.
Yeah, I just won't switch, honestly.
Yeah.
I will use the XS Max for the rest of my life. Never upgrade again.
There you go.
I heard the next iPhones are potentially not even going to look different.
Really?
That'd be a little depressing.
Apple is doomed. Apple is ever since Steve Jobs died, like there's
Pretty
been
much.
No innovation at Apple, and like, you know, they are just so doomed. I don't know why those stupid eye sheep still buy their stupid products.
I'll tell you what, Taylosif's doomed, because what are we going to talk about? All year we're going to have to hype up the design of nothing. It's like, it looks the same. There might be some like tiny difference, like there's one less speaker hole.
Hey, the speaker holes are now symmetrical again. Yay. Again.
That'll be like the one design change. I'm just like, how do you get people excited if there's no physical changes? Like, what do the ads do? So, it's like the bubble wallpaper, but it's the other way now. It's on the right instead of the left.
Yeah.
That's the one change.
Different color.
You're welcome.
I kind of think, yeah. So if you look back at other big markets that kind of started out quick and kind of are still around, I think the car market is a good example. Back in like 1910, people were buying cars left and right, and there are so many innovations, like how we got 2-cylinder, we got 4-cylinder, we got 8-cylinder, we have 2-wheel drive, we have 4-wheel drive, we have automatic, wow. There's been like all of these great innovations, but now the car's been, excluding Tesla, the cars have been getting so, like, I feel like smartphones used to kind of be like cars back in the day, where like, oh, gotta get the new car, it has more horsepower and has more.
Yeah.
But now, like, if you're not buying a sports car, do you really care about the horsepower of your car? Like, no one cares about the specs of your car. Do you care how many miles a gallon you get? Maybe, but like, that's the only spec people care about.
Yeah. Well, phones are something you like upgrade a lot more often than the car, for sure.
Well, I think in the future, people will be upgrading them less.
Yeah, probably.
Like, every 4 years or so. Like, if I could see myself, you know, I don't know, at some point, I mean, I'm on the upgrade program, so maybe I'm not a good person to ask, but
yeah,
you know, the iPhone 10 is a really good phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely see why people haven't upgraded since the iPhone 10. And, you know, if the 10S Max Max... 10SS Max Max.
10SS Max.
Just have a stutter.
Take the Max to the Max. That'll be the website headline. Taking the Max to the Max all over again.
Oh my gosh.
The A13 chip is faster than the iMac Pro. It's going to open messages so fast. It's going to be wonderful.
Download that GIF at 3G speeds.
No, you're right, though. Like, That's what I talked about in one of my more recent videos about the smartphone market in decline. They're not making phones good enough or bad enough. Like, the fact that they're not decent enough from the year before, it means they're not that exciting. And the fact that any phone you buy now, any of these budget or premium ones, are typically going to last you so long anyway that there's just no reason to upgrade that often. So, like, my dad is still using a 6S Plus, and he's fine with it. He just talked to me the other night. He was like, Verizon says I've been due for an upgrade. What should I get? And I was like, what do you want? He was like, do you want a 10 or you want a 10R? He was like, well, nothing's wrong with the 6S Plus. I just thought I was supposed to upgrade because Verizon's telling me to. So he just gets an alert, and he's like, oh, it's time? Okay, whatever.
Yep.
So he's not like,
a lot of people do it.
It's not aging very poorly. And you're right. If I wasn't a tech guy and I bought an iPhone 10 last year, I would definitely it's hard to say, because finding hypothetical, not tech Drew and knowing what he wants is difficult, because it depends on like, well, where am I working in this hypothetical world, or how much money do I have? Because I definitely, if I wasn't a YouTuber, would like a bigger phone.
Yeah.
But depending on, like, if I was still working at the ranch, I probably could not afford the 10S Max. But since I'm a tech YouTuber and it's kind of my job now to review these products and I can afford them, I'm probably going to be getting the new iPhone every year, no matter how tiny the changes are. That's just part of the job.
Yeah.
I don't believe everyone is like me or upgrades like I do. But Apple's bet big on services, you know? That's what's going to allow them to survive, is those monthly payments.
Yeah. Do you think Apple will ever, I mean, to tie this all back to our carrier debate, I think we'll just have to title this entire episode just Verizon.
Pretty much.
Do you think Apple would ever create their own network? And
I wish.
I know this used to be a rumor back in, 2016 or 15 or something. But that would be pretty cool.
The closest, I haven't seen anything recent, but I do know that because of all of their disputes with Qualcomm, they're working on their own antenna bands.
Yeah.
Like their own in-house design ones. They're not going to be implemented until 2020 or 2021, but they're experimenting with making their own like chips, their own cellular chips that work in the phone, because Qualcomm just hates them and they're trying to separate themselves from Qualcomm. But I don't think that necessarily means they're working on a carrier service, but I definitely wish they would. I think if Apple did one, it would be expensive, but it would probably like work. Like,
oh, I would pay for very that so seamlessly. Much.
Yeah, like it would probably be as much or more expensive than Verizon, but the difference is like it would be tied with your Apple ID, so you wouldn't have to contact a different company. You could buy it straight from the Apple store and not need to go through a different carrier and like log into that carrier's data or activation.
Yeah.
Like they would find a way to like minimize the entire process to be as simple as they could, so that when you get your iPhone, you just turn it on and it starts working. They'll probably, yes. They would probably just put your billing on top of your iCloud stuff anyway.
Yeah. So just put it on your iTunes card.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Tether it to all that so that you don't have another set of emails and passwords and billing information to save. It would just be one. I would love it, but yeah, I don't see any evidence.
Tim, please take my money.
Come on.
Please.
Apple, I want to so much
give
for this.
You my money. I'll give you a whole iPad a month. Just
right. Yeah. No, I would be super tempted. Like, think of how they could tie that in with the iPhone upgrade program.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, you just have one monthly bill for everything. Just cell service, phone. That's it. It's all tied
all
together.
I would love that. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You could have just then, one giant Apple subscription program that covers everything.
And once
they're your bank
Apple,
now.
Apple launches, yeah, after Apple launches their actual credit card, Apple Pay credit card, instead of the cash card, then your iTunes purchases and stuff could all go on that. And then
they're the only company.
Once a month, you just pay your iTunes, or your, I'm sorry, not iTunes, Apple Pay credit card bill.
Yeah.
And
see, I definitely would rather have an Apple carrier than an Apple movie streaming service.
Oh, me too.
Because I keep hearing about that and I'm just like, oh, it's going to be so cringy. I've seen Planet of the Apps and I've seen Carpool Karaoke. I know what Apple thinks is good streaming content, and I just don't think the movie service is going to be decent. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, if Apple's listening to this too, please, definitely, please. I mean, I think you have half of the Apple Sheep Army who would be willing to give you all of their money, like literally all of it. Actually, we'll just do direct deposit from our jobs directly into Apple's accounts. That'll be
great. I bet similar to Google paying for themselves to be the default search engine. Like, Verizon and AT&T would pay Apple to not make their own carrier. They would be like, please don't. We know everyone would leave us if you did, so please do not make your own carrier.
All the more reason, Apple, why you need to get on this, because no one likes carriers.
Oh, they would slay. They would slaughter the competition.
All they'd have to do is connect their existing technical support department, which is already really helpful, to this service. That's all. That would fix everything. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it was on, Sprint is reliable on my network, I guess, or whatever, but, like, even if they weren't on Verizon using their network, or even if they made their own network that wasn't as good, like, heck, if their network only worked in Cupertino, I would move to Cupertino. Like,
that's probably what they have, like,
their Apple whole campus HQ is actually just, like, a satellite dish to, like, beam LTE all over Cupertino. That's why it's shaped like that.
The building is actually just a giant router, and they have this cellular service that only the Apple employees use because they work there. I always felt like Johnny Ive doesn't live in a house. Like, he just lives in the bunkers in the down deep inside of Apple HQ. He just has like his own, what do you call it? Like Oblivion, they live in that little shelter. It's like a bed and a shower and everything. Like that movie with Tom Cruise. That's what Johnny Ive has. He just lives underneath Apple HQ, like 10 stories down. And he has his own carrier service. And he's always got like the fastest internet. I don't know.
What color are the walls in Johnny Ive's bunker, though?
White. Glass.
No, white? Pearl? We need to go through all the Apple Watch bands.
Silver. It's like a wall made of the same glass that's on the back of a XS Max, but white, the silver color. It's just that everywhere. And he has like a wall of a billion different shades of space gray. Like of all the years of different.
No, you don't need a billion. Space you gray. Just need 50.
Oh, God. You went there. Dang it, Nick. Could make a book. Like, why isn't. Has not Johnny Ive made a joke about that? 50 Shades of Space Gray.
That's the next Apple book. You know, the physical yeah. book that they. The coffee book. The coffee
it's just a book of all the different versions of Space Gray they've had.
It has going to have 50 pages on it, and there's going to be each color of each shade of Space Gray.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Man, if only. You're making me daydream here. I don't like doing this. Everyone keeps asking me, like, what do you want iOS 13 to do? And I'm like, don't do that. It's dangerous. you're gonna get your hopes all high. Every year, the same thing happens. They're like, this is going to be a huge update. All these changes are going to come with the next iOS update. And then just like a couple things happen and everyone's disappointed.
Yeah.
But so I keep my expectations low with iOS updates. I'm just like, they'll think of something that's kind of handy and I'll probably get it when the beta's out and be like, okay, neat. But I'm not going to hype it up because I sadly ask for the same things every year.
I mean, they did fix that wish list. Apple Watch, viewfinder for video.
Oh, that's true. They finally fixed that. Even though it had nothing to do with the Apple Watch hardware. It was just a software toggle. They were just like, oh, yeah. Why don't we let it control other
there's
things?
Like this
here we go.
There's like this switch, and they're just like, it's off. It's on.
A big switch they toggled on. But it's sad. Like, my iOS 10 wish list video has a lot of the same things as my iOS 12 wish list. Just like, volume indicator. Don't be in the middle of the screen. Themes that you can adapt and change to. Change the video resolutions and frame rates from the camera app. And then another year goes by. What's your iOS 13 wish list? Go watch iOS 12 wish list. It's the same thing. It's all the same wishes. Yeah. I've wanted the same like five things that don't change.
We also, need to get you I just in a don't... room with Johnny Ive.
Oh, dude! If I got to interview Tim Cook, I would probably make it my last interview with anyone from Apple. Like, I would ask the worst questions that would annoy the crap out of them. I'd be like, so. Tim, in tvOS, when we change the volume indicator's up in the corner of the TV. Why up in the corner? Why not in the middle? He's like, because it would be kind of distracting to be in the middle. I'm like, okay, so on iOS, when we change the volume, it's right in the middle. Why? You guys know how to fix this.
You could ask more annoying questions. Like, where power?
Where's air power? I could like bend an iPad in front of him. Be like, how are you going to fix this?
Beat him over the head with it. Tim, this iPad, it bends!
Right. I'll be it's like, so cheap. You ship iPhones that have lightning to USB cables, then I can't plug it in to the iPad or the MacBook. Why? He'd be like, what? you can go buy it. It's like, why are you still shipping this? Why? What am I supposed to plug this into? But
Tim,
yeah, I
why
would be
did you get rid of the headphone
critical.
Jack?
Yeah.
You got rid of the headphone jack before we were ready.
But it's on the Mac. Well, people need
that
it.
That is true.
But people wanted it on the phone.
They got rid of it on the iPad. I'm very glad.
Yep. It's the first time it's not really like a big, what you call it? It's not like a huge issue for space. It's literally out of the fact that they don't think we need it anymore. So another step closer.
Never once used the headphone jack on my other 9.7-inch iPad, so.
Oh, you didn't?
Why would I?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not even once.
Yeah, I don't think I ever used the headphone jack on my 2017 iPad either. I had no reason
good old,
to.
Good old headphone jack.
Oh, yeah. You got a 6 Plus there. What's it for?
Yep. It's actually, I need to call Verizon sometime this weekend and have them move that phone number I can't use onto this phone. This is like
the story continues.
Yeah, to be continued. I hope not, though. Hopefully it'll be simple.
Yeah, hopefully it has a happy ending, but it's Verizon, so I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not. Oh, well. Probably just end with me selling all my technology and moving up to the Himalayan mountains and just, you know, doing technology.
Say them out. No more tech. Just an iPod, like, classic. Is that for everything? Yeah. But you,
but it has a headphone
work...
jack.
Oh, no. Take it. Can they bring back the iPod without a jack?
Yeah.
Perfect. You had a Surface Book 2 for your work, right?
But do you want to save that for the next one?
Is that another rant? Are we near our hour? What are we at? No.
Yeah, we're 58 minutes. We're close.
Okay. So maybe we ought to wrap it up then. Do you have anything else you wanted to say as we close? We'll save the Surface Book for next time.
Yeah, we'll save some more topics for next time because, you know.
Okay.
This Verizon rant took way too long because, you know, I had to tell everyone every single name of everyone they talked to. So, you know,
that's true.
Give all the shout outs.
They like to eat, their favorite hobbies, yeah. Every name, everything, all the details. Well, alrighty then. I guess we can wrap up. So thank you guys for listening. It's been it hasn't been a complete pleasure because it's been a very frustrating experience for Nick, but I wish you all the best, Nick. I hope it goes well.
I need it.
And everyone, and please wish Nick luck.
And if anyone here knows what's going on, if you guys have tried to do a dual sim and any tips, please, please, please let me know.
Yes. If anyone has dual sim experience.
Have a direct number to someone who knows what they're talking about at Verizon, send that to me,
let
please.
Nick know what to do. But I doubt anyone who listened to this podcast is ever going to attempt a dual sim now. They're just done.
No,
they're just like, nope, never messing
run
with
away,
that.
Run away!
No one's going to do it. But so thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.